Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck enjoying yet another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my friends, and I always like them to introduce themselves. Hi, guys.
Hello there. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. And even though we are in North Carolina, it is another cold but beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the other half, Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And it is very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness again. And as you all know, we are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, Y-O-U, capital Y-O-U. Did I say capital Y-O-U? Universalprosperity.com.
And so you can remember that's Y-O-U. We use a little, just an easy way for you to find us, which is UCFYP.com.
Yeah, and I think I shared with you, I've heard that enough now that when I'm trying to find you, that's what I do.
That's what I do. When I want to go to our website.
And of course, I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my Absolute Word, which is my weekly blog, and also the calendar of where I'm appearing on Zoom, in the Zoomiverse or in Zoomlandia, whatever you want to call it. And sometimes I'm speaking at churches on Sundays, and so you can find me there as well as the classes. Are you guys ready to romp?
We are so ready.
We are.
Can you believe this is already the third episode of 2021?
That's so great. It's
2021-03, and we are diving in to premises about practices. We've had about 10 shows now looking at the premises that are found in my book, Use the Truth You Know, Unity's Principles and Premises. And so premises about practices. And so Cher is our fabulous reader. Take it away, Cher.
All right. Here's the first premise about practices. And for those who have the book, which is Use the Truth You Know by Paul Hasselbeck, it is on page 182. And you may have said that, but I want to repeat it and reiterate so people can find us. And here it is. Releases or denials disempower erroneous thoughts and beliefs and their related feelings and emotions. Affirmations claim truth, universal ideas or principles, and their related thoughts and beliefs, along with their associated feelings and emotions. So we're looking at releases or denials versus affirmations.
And so today I would say affirmations or assertions.
Yes.
Because I really believe that what we're affirming needs to be said in a very assertive way. And to make these personal, which is one of the things that we've been promoting as we've been taking the deep dive, we have to add a few words. I use releases to disempower my erroneous thoughts and beliefs, while I use affirmations to assert universal ideas or principles.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. That's good. Yeah. That adds power. Yeah.
I think it makes it personal.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and the way it's written is sort of out there-ish. And so it really brings it in. And I have quite a few quotes here, and who knows, I might add another along the way. I don't know.
Well, the first one is from Charles Film, and we're going to get definitions. We're going to get Charles's definitions, and I'm sure we will add our own thoughts to these definitions. But from the Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore has written, denial or release, the mental process that includes feeling nature for erasing from consciousness the false beliefs of the sense mind. Denial disempowers the belief in error as reality and thus makes room for the establishing of truth based on principle.
Yes. One of the things we always have to talk about when we're talking about denials is address people's issue that they have about denials. There's a large group of New Thought people who believe all denials do is kind of a backhanded way to claim what we're denying. And that is not what we're doing. And in fact, studies in psychology talk about the importance of recognizing first those things you no longer want, and then finding ways to disempower those beliefs. And I like to use computer terminology, uninstalling those beliefs is a way to think about that. And those of you who have been working with me now for the last year or so, you'll also know that I've added emotional freedom technique, or tapping, as a way to discharge the energy I've given those thoughts, ideas, and beliefs and images I no longer want to hold. And that is a proven technique. Guys, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, one thing I would add is that in terms of denials, is that you're really not denying the power of whatever it is that's a false belief. You're giving power to that false belief.
Yes.
That false belief has no power.
Right. And if it's an outer thing doesn't have power over you. And if you've been listening to our previous shows, we've said over and over again, you are the king or queen of your consciousness. No one or no thing can change your mind. Only you can do that.
Yeah. And I think that is so important to nail in. I want to be sure everybody gets that, because when we work with people, so many times they say such and such has no power over me. And we just help them rephrase that to say, I give no power to.
Yes.
And by changing that wording, you put the energy where it belongs.
Yeah.
And I've actually added another word from time to time. I give no power or importance to that, whatever it is, whatever that belief or thought is. I also want to address another thing, which I'm finding is happening less and less, and that's the concept that our subconscious mind does not hear the word no. And so when we say no power, the belief is our subconscious mind records that as power. And that is absolutely not true. And to just think about the people who walk around all the time with the messages, I'm no good, I'm not good enough. If the subconscious mind works the way those people thought, the subconscious mind would be recording, I am good enough, in which case that's what would be driving the bus, because we know how much our subconscious thoughts, ideas, and beliefs and images influence our choices and what we do.
I'm so glad you said that, because I've never understood that belief. And it doesn't make any sense.
But it was propagated for many, many, many years. It was propagated like the idea that the universe hates a vacuum, or your consciousness hates a vacuum. And what that's saying is that there's places where there's no consciousness. And that's a metaphysical impossibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think we need to give our consciousness a little credit too, for knowing what we mean when we say things. People get so tied up in doing it perfectly that they lose the very power of the act itself.
Yes, yes.
And so we want to emphasize just what you're doing is letting go of that, any belief you are giving power to something.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And then the affirmation, which is the other part of it, again, from Revealing Word by Charles Fillmore. Affirmation is a positive statement of truth, which consists of principles and or laws. And I want to stop there for a minute, because I think that's a piece people miss, that people make up all these affirmations about material things that they have or they're going to possess.
Mm-hmm.
But an affirmation is a positive statement of truth. So it needs to be grounded in truth. I can say I am 6 feet tall as long as I want to say it, but that's not grounded in the biological principles of truth.
Exactly. It's,
I'm never going to be that.
Yes. And those laws of the physical realm cannot be broken either.
Right. So I think that's really important to remember. A positive statement of truth, which consists of principles and or laws. By the use of affirmations, we claim and appropriate that which is already truly ours.
Yes. And one of the ways in which Charles Fillmore talks about it is that we're actually putting a demand on a principle or a divine idea that is already existent in our consciousness, because it's inherent. Principles or divine ideas are inherent within us. And I like to use the word assertion, which I said a little while ago. And the reason why I started using the word assertion is because in the book, Teach Us to Pray, which was written by Charles Fillmore and his second wife, Cora Fillmore, they say we are to pray vehemently. Did you hear that? Pray vehemently. And we've learned, or we've taught ourselves from being in churches, that the way we pray is humbly and quietly, so as not to really disturb God in a way, which is really sort of funny if you think about it. So that asserting the truth, being vehement about it, is really a statement of the conviction we have for the truth we know.
And of course, it's important for the folks to know now that, the type of prayer we're talking about, the type that Charles and Cora and Myrtle always talked about, is affirmative prayer, not a petitioning prayer.
Right.
Correct. And so when we're talking about affirmations, we are really talking about a form of prayer.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And it's not a prayer asking an outside God to do things for us. In the most fundamental sense, unity prayer is about changing our own consciousness. Mm-hmm. Our own consciousness. Yes.
And it's again grounded in truth. And I love this is, I don't know if it's an exact quote, but it's based on Eric Butterworth, that things don't become true because we affirm them. We affirm things because they are true.
Yes.
And that to me is so powerful.
Well, and that connects to the other idea, which I'm grateful you emphasized a little bit earlier, is that the things that we're affirming because they are true are truth, are principles, are divine ideas, which we have tacitly agreed are true.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Yep. We could call them divine facts, actually.
I like that.
Divine facts.
So one more thing on affirmation and denial, one more quote, and this is again Charles Fillmore, The Revealing Word. Two movements, affirmation and denial, are two movements of the mind that express power to accept or to reject, to lay hold of or to let go.
Yes. Yes.
So they're active verbs, really, in a way. You affirm and deny because you're taking an active expression.
You know, I was just thinking, Paul, going back to something you just said about divine facts, from a quantum physicist standpoint, who, let's say, who has been unitized, he or she might say divine wavicles. That are waiting to be used.
Yes. Yes. Yes, because those wavicles are full of potential, aren't they?
Yep.
This is probably a good point to put in here. And again, as I read my own material, I wonder why I didn't do it at the time. But it's very important to remember that affirmations are done in the first person. So they're I statements. They're not we statements. You hear that a lot in a unity church. And we is nice when you're trying to create community. And then whenever I do that, I follow it up with an I statement. So it's first person. It's present tense. It's not I will. It's I am, or whatever it is. It's and making it active is really important. So first person, present tense. We say positive because the principles themselves we can think of as being positive. So, or we just say present tense, first person, principle, said with power. So we got four P's, four P's. And interestingly, a denial is also done in first person, present tense. It is based on principle because we're using the power of renunciation. And those two can be said powerfully, even though our forebearers, our founders said to say them quietly, like cleaning a cobweb in the corner of a room. I don't agree with that anymore. And so I'm going to go biblical on you again, Cher. So it's that's your yay be yay and your nay be nay.
Yeah. So I don't think when Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," he was saying it soft and gently.
Right, right. Or when he was turning the tables, he didn't say, "Excuse me, gentlemen.
Right.
Please step back while I turn your tables."
Yeah.
That get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes. Or when he told Lazarus, "Arise, come forth," or "Is there something better?"
Or is there something better? or as I'll often joke, "Hey, dude, the highest and best for you, buddy."
Come on down.
So listen, this is important because, I mean, it's a funny way of making a point because what happens in vagueness stays in vagueness. And we're talking about being very specific in our denials and affirmations. And I find people make their affirmations too vague, not even relating to what they're trying to change.
Yep.
Okay, so there is one more quote on under the this particular item of releases and affirmations or denials. And this is by Emily Cady in Lessons in Truth. So we'll get a different perception here. "The saying over and over of any denial or affirmation is a necessary training of the mind that has lived so long in error and false belief that it needs this constant repetition of truth, principle according to law, to unclothe it and to clothe it anew."
Yeah. And how perceptive she was, because now the neuroscience is telling us that, you know, it's not a one and done thing. And in fact, a lot of people still go to the idea that when you're doing a prayer, you only say it once and you let it go. If you keep repeating, it's because you didn't believe it was working. Well, now we're finding neuroscience is that you have to redo this repeatedly because that's how you form a new neural pathway. If you do it just once, you haven't built up enough oomph, enough substance behind it to change a neural pathway. And changing a neural pathway requires the deconstruction of the old pathway, which we're denying giving power to or removing our power from, while the affirmation starts making a new neural pathway.
Yep.
I think somewhere, Bill, you may have a number on this. I think it takes like 21 to 30 days to install a new neural pathway.
Yeah, and exactly right. And neuroscientists remind us, and the reason it takes that long, remind us that neurons that wire together fire together.
Yes.
And that's why it takes that long for them really to form grooves in the gray matter. And once you've got the groove, or I call it a superhighway there, then because you've repeated something often enough, then you're on to something. You are on to a higher order of living.
Yes. And we're in a society that wants instant results. Mm-hmm. And these things aren't instant. And so we must be patient. And no one stops to reflect how long they were repeating and reinforcing their stinking thinking.
Right.
And reinforcement isn't just about what the person is thinking and feeling. It's also the actions that provide a feedback loop to support that stinking thinking. And so this is a process and we must be patient with ourselves. And I often bring up, and I'm going to do it now, it took Myrtle Fillmore 2 years to uninstall the belief that she inherited sickness and install the new belief that she was a child of God and therefore she could not inherit sickness.
Yep.
So this section is probably the most important application section in the whole book in a way, because all of consciousness changing or consciousness conditioning hinges on us being aware of the thoughts, ideas, beliefs, and images that aren't working so we can uninstall them using a release and affirm a principle or divine idea we know to install a new one.
Exactly.
So, wow, right? Wow. Okay, so it's time for us to pivot and share. I am just realizing I didn't pull it up. So you get to read it today.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I would love to read it. And this is the absolute word, which I, by the way, since I get to talk right here, I encourage everyone to go to paulhasselbeck.com because you can actually find these there. They're in his blog and use them in your churches in place of the daily word reading. And people will be amazed. They'll love it. So I want to encourage that. But this is the absolute word. It's based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this is coming from Sunday, January 10th, and the word is prosperity. I claim prosperity now. Oh, powerful. I claim prosperity now. The principle of abundance is my primary resource for claiming and creating prosperous thoughts and feelings. I begin by focusing my thoughts and feelings on all the bountiful evidence of prosperity in my life. I feel grateful. My gratitude makes it easier to notice more prosperity around me. As I focus on my prosperity consciousness grows. I tend to my prosperity thoughts and feelings as though they are flowers in my garden. I plant seed ideas of abundance in the soil of my consciousness and nurture them with imagination. And my ideas of prosperity take root, grow, and mature. Anchored in the principle of abundance and feeling grateful for all my rich experiences of life, love, health, and joy, I boldly and enthusiastically create more prosperous ideas and act on them. I claim prosperity now.
I claim prosperity now, or I claim abundance now. And sometimes I like a compound affirmation, say, I claim prosperity now. I am prosperous.
Yes. Ah, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. That was so good for me just to sit and listen to my own words. And you read so well. Thank you, Cher. And thank you to our listeners. We're always grateful. We hope that what we provide, you can find a way to use in practical ways in your own life. After all, that is a primary driver of why we do this. And for now, this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off and saying goodbye.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you for listening, and we'll listen to you next time.
And this is Reverend Doc Bill. We'll catch you later.